Like to speak to us this morning about a subject that we talked about last Sunday, spiritual prosperity. I'm doing this at the risk of being labeled someone that would preach wealth and prosperity. There's a couple terms that you'll hear out in the world, especially in the business world. Abundance mentality and scarcity mindset, or abundance mindset and scarcity mindset. And the things that it talks about is the way you look at your present circumstance and the future. Someone that's of a scarcity mindset hardly ever sees any opportunities. And those that are of the abundant mindset sees opportunities all over the place. And I'm concerned that this is not entry-level preaching or entry-level to Christianity message this morning. This is a more advanced topic. It's one thing to know that there is such a thing as salvation, and it's another thing to really benefit by it. And it troubles me that we go along in our Christian walk and we feel maybe after a number of years or an extended period of time that we're just barely making it. That's scarcity mindset. That's just barely keeping the wolf away from the door. And I'm not preaching this morning about becoming something less than humble and less than depending on the Lord. But I am wanting us to think about how to make our spiritual walk more profitable for us. I'm thankful that I've had a spouse that has been willing to work towards being in a position financially, temporally, where when bills come, we can be comfortable that there's enough money in the checking account to pay the bills. It takes both of you working together, because if there's money in there, and it could be spent on a lot of things. It could be spent on clothes, decorations. Maybe you could eat salmon for the first week or the first few days after you got paid, but by the end of the week, you're maybe eating chicken wings or something like that. I don't know, maybe chicken wings aren't cheap anymore, but Lord, help us to realize that there's, God, I believe, has a place for us in our walk with Him that's not barely surviving. I want us to think about how that we can get in a place where we can not just know that we're saved, but have a level of confidence about our level of courage. That we got some courage reserve, if you will. So I'd like for us to begin with a verse that we used last Sunday morning in 3 John, the second verse of this little book. In 3 John, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So there's three things that I feel like the writer here points out that he is desirous that Gaius, or a Christian, this word Gaius could also be translated maybe just a Christian. A Christian, there's three areas that he says or infers that he wants them to be prosperous in. One is spiritual prosperity. I believe that's the number one goal, that we ought to be spiritually prosperous. But he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I believe that he wants us to have physical health. That's one of the things he was praying for. And I also believe that he intends for us to have enough means to meet our obligations, and we ought to learn how to live within our means. That goes hand in hand. And our Sunday school lesson this morning was about being industrious and being willing to work and to provide for our own, and not being slothful to be diligent and all of those things. I believe that's all important. So it's inferred here that this individual was prosperous spiritually, and his prayer was, his desire for him was that he would prosper temporally and in his health. Didn't say that he was destitute, just said that his desire was that he would prosper. So I would like for us to just focus on spiritual prosperity this morning. I believe it's God's will that we would be more prosperous spiritually and be on an offense instead of a defense. You know, the enemy wants us to be running and looking over our shoulder to see how far we are ahead of the devil, instead of turning around and facing him and pushing his advances back. He wants us to run scared, and I believe God wants us to be prosperous enough in our soul, in our spirits, in our level of confidence, in our level of understanding. Last Sunday we said that spiritual prosperity was taking what's given to us, just like the talents given to us in understanding and a sense of well-being, and accumulating or adding to that understanding. And we want to learn how to do that. So, you know, anything that we intend or desire to prosper in, or desire to prosper for us, we think about, right? You want your marriage relationship to prosper, then you need to think about the things that could potentially make it prosper. You want to be able to know how to do something, don't expect to pick up a musical instrument and just be, because someone else can make it make beautiful sounds and music. Don't just expect to be able to pick it up and produce the same sounds. There's techniques to learn. There's disciplines to learn. There's if it's a woodwind instrument or a stringed instrument, or there's way to put emphasis and all of that and dynamics into playing that instrument, even if after you know how to play the basic notes. So you have to think about it. What can I do? to improve my situation. You know, opportunity is very seldom comes completely fulfilled. An opportunity is a chance to develop something greater. You ever thought about that? Opportunity is not an opportunity to pick up wealth or pick up a lifetime supply of spiritual prosperity. An opportunity is a chance to develop that. An opportunity doesn't reach fulfillment without thinking about it. You know that all of the inventions that we have today is because somebody was thinking about it. Car phones. You know, I remember the things that you folded down the armrest in the center of the seat and you opened up this cubby in the armrest and pulled out the thing that looked like was hanging on the wall in the house with the cord. Y'all ever seen one of those? Back in the 80s? Open that thing up and here, receiver to hold it up to your ear and your mouth. Just like you had in the house. It's a car phone. And then we got bag phones. We had a phone you could carry around in a bag. And now we have full-fledged computers that we slip in our pockets that's no bigger than hardly a... Well, some of them's almost like a little notebook or something. It's just... incredible. I heard a story about someone that their engineers at this company, it might have been Apple, engineers brought in their latest developed cell phone and was demonstrating all of its features, and the owner took the phone and he went over to an aquarium and he just pushed it down in the aquarium. Just dunked it in the water. And when he did, there was air bubbles that come out of it. He said, make it smaller. There's air trapped inside of it, so I know you can make it smaller. He said, make it smaller. So how do you get it smaller? How do you get it faster? You don't just say, well, that's good enough. You know, all those engineers that had worked on developing, they could have just walked out and said, that man is crazy. Now, I'm not saying they didn't think that. But they, instead of doing that, there may have been some of them that quit that day. I don't know. He's unreasonable. But I would like to think that they went home and thought about it. You know, I wonder what we could do to package things better to where there would be no air pockets inside this cell phone. I don't know if my cell phone has air pockets in it or not, but I'm not going to put it in the fish tank. But all of these kind of things have happened because someone is continually thinking about it. Progress has happened. From the time that Anita and I got married until now, we've went from the non-cellular phone generation to now everyone, we don't even have a landline at our house. I mean, we're one of those. So, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Matthew and notice what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount in verse 27. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? What can you change by thinking? What can you changed by, here the word stature immediately comes to my mind, maybe our height. But a lot of people that have studied the scriptures and studied the maybe the Greek that it was written in has thought that it was talking about adding length to your life, not necessarily height to how tall you were. But it doesn't matter. I will tell you this. We can't add length to our life if God says it's enough. But I do know this, that if we'll eat better foods for ourselves, we can impact our health, our overall health. We can make someone shorter by, you know, as an adult, by taking protein away from them as a child. It's a fact. I want us to realize that how we discipline our thinking is going to greatly impact our spiritual prosperity. So we have a song in our book, number 109. I'd like to look at this, words of this. The song in the chorus says, "Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love." Now, my musical ability is pretty limited, but I know that you can tune 5 of the 6 strings on a guitar by holding the string that's the lower, the thicker string, down at the 5th fret, and it ought to be harmonious with the next string. That's how you can tune a guitar. There's one string that is different than that, but most of them, it's the 5th fret. If you hold the string down, it should be, to tune it, it has to be completely harmonious, the same frequency that it vibrates at. And what he's saying here, he says, "Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above." What does it mean to muse? It means to dwell. It means to think the thought over and over and over again. It means to think about it from a different angle. It means to think about, if you're thinking about food all the time, you might get hungry, right? If you're musing on things above, he says, "Thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul, every part of my being, my soul, my inner man, is tuned with heavenly love." It's harmonious with your thoughts. You know, if we'll do that, we'll be more prosperous in our spiritual life. If we will tune our innermost man to the things of the Lord, we'll find ourselves with more victory, with more peace, with more wisdom, with more compassion. We'll have more of God's attributes if we will think of the Lord and muse on things above. It's important that we learn how to discipline our thinking. Now, I hope that nobody's guilty of it, but I would venture that all of us have, at some point, been at a place like this setting this morning, and something else been on your mind, and when you're thinking about that other thing, You can be here, your eyes can be open, you can even be looking to the front and your mind be someplace else, and you don't get nothing out of the service. You know that somebody was up there talking, and you know that maybe other people were nodding and somebody might have said amen, but when you walk out the door, somebody would say, well, what was the message about? And you would have this blank thought. I don't know. I guess I wasn't paying attention. And the reason is because you was musing on other things. It might have been on fishing. It might have been what you're going to fix for dinner. It might have been someplace you're going to go. It might have been something that was troubling you outside of being in service. Could have been a disaster. Maybe you was thinking about how you were going to fix something that had fell apart that morning. But the songwriter says, thinking of thee, O Lord, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. I want to try to get us to understand that spiritual prosperity, it's not just a mindset, but it's something if we will cultivate an appetite for, I believe that God can help us be more prosperous spiritually and not just ducking for cover all the time. I want us to be able to say to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. Instead of, there he comes again, y'all run for cover. You know, I remember multiple times young people, and I was one of those that got up and helped sing the song of giving up no ground. Devil, we're giving up no ground. Well, you know, you got to be on the offense to say we're not giving up any ground. It's defense to run for cover and to make compromises and maybe give up a little bit of territory here or there. No, the Lord wants us to be more prosperous than that. I'd like for us to turn to the 23rd chapter of Proverbs and notice a verse here. Maybe we'll begin at the first verse. It says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. So there is something that's being presented here, I believe, in this chapter of Proverbs, and it's an element of control. You have to have an element of control in your life. He says, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Don't consider what's set before you. We have things set before us every day. Every day is an opportunity for you to choose what you do with it. You can choose to meet your obligations. You can choose to be diligent. You can choose to be slothful and indolent. You can choose to just goof off all day. You can choose to be discouraged and think about all of the negative things that has happened to you and the potential for more to happen today. Or you can consider what's before you and realize the vast opportunity you have for victory. Notice what he says in verse 7. We haven't read that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You can say, oh, I just like going to church because they have They have such good refreshments after they have a revival meeting. Well, is that what you're thinking about? Are you thinking about the hors d'oeuvres and all of the other things that you could have after service? Or are you thinking about, am I going to get something that 'll help me? So, to discipline what you think about, I remember sitting in algebra class, Algebra 1, freshman in high school, had a older man that was, first time I'd, well, not the first time, but one of the times that I had a man for a teacher in school, and I was fascinated because in grade school I'd always had women to teach me, and this man had a completely different attitude about instruction. And he would be at the board putting some kind of example of algebra and some equation and introducing some concept and teaching along. And then he would begin to ask questions from the class randomly, pointing someone out and calling you by name and asking you to contribute and explain something to him and why this was, how it was and how we come to this conclusion and all of those kind of things. And when he did, and somebody would stammer around and not be able to answer his question, he would say, aha, I caught you chasing rabbits. Somebody wasn't disciplined in their thinking. They had allowed their mind to wander, just like you can let your mind wander this morning and begin to wonder, how long is he going to talk? And how long are we going to be here? And your mind can be out there in the bushes somewhere and you don't get the point. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we're going to have to be able to control what our mind will muse on. You remember what the song said? Thinking of thee, O Lord, of thee. Musing on things above. To think about it. To contemplate it. Over and over again. We have that opportunity. You can go through your day singing hymns. Or you can hum to yourself on top of Old Smokey. Right? You can think about the positive, inspirational things that you should have read before you started your day at work. Or you can think about, I don't know how I'm going to meet that bill. Or I sure wish Uncle So-and-so hadn't spoke to me that way. Or my sister won't talk to me. Or my... you can muse on that all day long if you choose to. And I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, if you're thinking about the people that didn't talk to you right and the disadvantages you've had in life and the things that didn't go right, at the end of the day, your spiritual prosperity will take a hit. And it won't be where it wants to be. It won't be where God wants it to be. He wants you to be able to look the enemy in the eye and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I am not backing up on this. I am not giving up any ground. I'm not allowing you to intimidate me on this point. Because I know in whom I have believed, and my Redeemer liveth. That's the kind of response he wants us to be able to give to the advances of the enemy. And we can choose what we allow our minds to think on. We can choose to pay attention in algebra class, or we can watch the janitor or the groundskeeper go by on the lawnmower. I was guilty of that. We can watch him go by and think how much fun it would be to ride a lawnmower like that instead of pushing the one I had at the house and not pay attention to the lesson of algebra that's going on the chalkboard. And we can allow our minds to drift to the things of the world, to the things of our worries and our concerns and all of that, and not Muse on the things above. And if we do that, we're going to end up destitute spiritually. We will not be prosperous. We will be a pauper and not wealthy spiritually. And when the devil comes along and introduces temptation or tries to intimidate us, we'll cave and we'll give in. And we won't be able to say, I ain't listening. We need to be able to say that to the devil. We can be presented with many thoughts and temptations. Sometimes they're directly from Satan. You know, the devil will come to you and just tell you flat out, you're not saved. And if we have allowed ourselves to get in a spiritual scarcity mindset, we'll say, you might be right. If we have been cultivating, musing on things above, we'll have a live connection. And we'll be able to say, pack your bags, I'm not listening to that. I'm not accepting that accusation that I'm not saved. And sometimes we'll have something from some kind of abstract source that'll be presented to us. It might come by the events of life. And it might come by the words of actions or actions of other people. You know, bad things happen to me too. I have bolts that break off, and I was working on something and I dropped a bolt and it went down inside the engine. And I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to do now? And fortunately, with His help, I was able to get in a position where I could get a magnet down in there and fish it out. But if I hadn't have been, you know, He would have had enough grace for me to fix it anyway. It wouldn't have been the end of the world. You know, if mistakes and inadvertent things had could have defeated me, I'd have quit a long time ago trying to fix automobiles. Because I've made a lot of them over the years. But I can't, if I dwell on that, I wouldn't open the hood on another thing. But I don't. And I won't. And I won't dwell on the negative things by the help of the Lord that's happened to me in life. The people that's told me they don't like me, and the people that says I don't get anything out of your preaching, and all of those kind of things. I can't dwell on that. That's not profitable. That'll cause me to be discouraged. I want to listen to another voice. I want to muse on things above. You know, just because a thought's presented to us doesn't mean we have to muse on it. Doesn't mean we have to dwell on it. And I can't keep a bird from flying over my head and dropping something on me, can I? Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I'm talking about real, in life, a bird dropping something on you. But I can sure keep you from building a nest in my hair. You know, we can't keep the devil or the events of life from presenting something discouraging to us. But I don't have to muse on it. I can throw it out. I can choose to think on good things. Just like I choose to read a book or not read a book. Just like I choose to listen to something or not listen to something. You know, if you know you're going to be driving for 30 minutes or an hour someplace, I can, you know, we got internet access almost anywhere with our smartphones. You can go to Church of God preaching and you can pull up, they got thousands of messages there you can listen to. You want to keep from going to sleep? Put a message on. Ask the Lord to help you listen to it. You can either use that or you can just aimlessly choose to listen to what's on the radio. You know what you'll probably hear? something bad. You can listen to something that's newsworthy and you'll be discouraged. Or you can choose. I mean, it's your choice. You can be more prosperous spiritually if you want to be. I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about taking control of your thoughts this morning. And taking control what you're willing to muse on and allow yourself to meditate on. And we can either be more spiritually prosperous or we can become paupers. To dwell on something means to think. And what we dwell on is going to dictate or define our level of spiritual prosperity. I think I'm going to stop. I don't know if you're going into overload or not, but I think I'm going to stop. I want you to consider what it is that you allow your mind to think on today. I hope, not because I'm so appealing to listen to, but I hope with the help of the Lord that you have chose to stay focused this morning. And not allow your mind to wander. And not allow your thoughts to ramble out there into the what-if territory. There's so much what-if territory out there that you can get completely lost. I had a man tell me that he went down into the underground. I don't know if it was in Neosho or Carthage. But he was in the underground where they had the big caverns. In there with a truck. And I can't remember, something about they didn't have any lights or signs down there. He said he got lost. Just plain got lost and everything starts looking the same. And you don't know which way is north and which way is south down there. There's no sun up, sun down, there's no stars. And if they don't have road signs and some kind of markers or those piers numbered or something, you don't have a clue where you're at. And you know, what if is like that? What if? What if? What if somebody tells me they don't like me? What if something catastrophic happens? What if this and what if that? And, oh, what something else. You know, once you start down the what if path, it's just like it explodes on you. It's kind of like getting dirty teeth. You know, once you get a little scum on your teeth, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it just keeps building up. And Lord, help us to take control today and say, I will not. I will not think of that. I will not allow my mind to go down and worry and fret and dwell on the negative things. I want to cultivate an attitude of thinking on musing on things above. As the songwriter said, thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is harmonious with you. If we will cultivate that, we can be in our own little world and everybody else can be having a bad day and we can be singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. We can be singing, oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, instead of singing on top of old Smokey. What did they lose out there? They lost something, you know it? They lost their true lover, I think the song says. Now, how discouraging is that? Instead, we can be musing on the things above. Until our chords of our soul is tuned, it's harmonious with the Lord to where, yes, there's bad things that can happen to me. There's negative things that can happen, and I know the potential of bad is really high in our world today. I was going to say good, but that wouldn't sound right. The potential of bad is really high in our world today. But if we'll muse on things above, We can be more prosperous than we were yesterday. And next week, we'll be more prosperous than the week before. And I want us to realize the Lord wants us to prosper spiritually. You pray for me.